Now, we are going to be continuing our lesson in Genesis by being in chapter 12, and we'll be in verses 14 through 20, Lord willing. Now, in our study of the life of Abraham, we last left him in the promised land of God, but in the midst of a famine. Now, Abraham found himself in that area in the midst of a famine, having many, many responsibilities and many souls and many animals to provide for. And in that situation, he chose to go to Egypt, which was a so-called famineless land, for its water needs were provided by the vast river Nile. It's interesting how God had those two lands directly next to each other, but God chose the land called the Promised Land to send Abraham to make a nation. But Abraham, in leaving the Promised Land, is simply walking in the way of the world and seeking the world's help, for he has not yet learned that this God who directed him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to leave his family is the God of helps. You know, what a lesson that is, to know that our God is the God of helps. You know, where do you seek your help? We need help all the time. We yell out, help. You know, if we're drowning, we yell out, help. We're seeking help. And who do we seek help from? Well, our God is the God of helps. For walking in faith puts your eyes on God for help, thus taking them off of the world. Most of the time, we're looking at the world for helps. But God tells us to look to Him for helps, and we do that by faith. We know this from our New Testament, which tells those of faith, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, such a short verse, but such truth in that verse. All your cares, and not just some of them. Leaving the world to care for you in the major things. You know, I'll let God care for me in the minor things, but those major things I've got to take hold of and do things myself. The things you can hardly imagine God tending to. And so Abraham is to learn to seek God's care for his wife and his servants and his animals, especially in the midst of famine, and to not look to the world for help. Christian, where do we look for help? We look for help to God. That's where we look for help from. So this is another important lesson on the walk of faith. Now, God has brought him to a place wherein dependence upon God and not on the things of this world was in the very nature of the place. Get that into our heads. You know, God could have brought him into Egypt. Oh, Egypt had all of the nice, well-watered plains from the Nile through the irrigation systems and the carrying of the buckets of the water. Egypt was the place where people would want to go, but God didn't choose that. He chose a place not like Egypt, where the work of the hands and the natural assets, such as the abundant water supply, satisfied so easily the needs of the people. Now, we should get that into our heads, that God puts us into a place where faith is to work. And that's what he did with Abraham. We read in our last lesson of God's mind concerning this in Deuteronomy 11, 10 through 12, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt." You know, I think about Christian workers in this ministry. You don't join this ministry to get rich. This is an arid land that way. And God puts you in a place of an arid land. Why? So you can call upon him for help and see his hand of help in your life. What a marvelous thing and a joyous thing to see God's hand of help in your life. So I'm sending you not into Egypt or from whence ye came out. Ur of the Chaldees was a land where there was plenty. Where thou sowest thy seed and waterest with thy foot. In other words, you open up a dam with your foot so the water can irrigate down the path toward the plants as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. You're going to have to walk up the hills. You're going to have to walk down the hills. You're going to have to work hard in this land and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. The help comes from heaven. That's what he's saying here. The help comes from heaven. Oh, the farmers would pray for the rain to come after they've worked so hard to plant the plants and to cultivate the earth. And what do? They prayed for rain, seeking God's help. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. That's where God is putting Abraham. What an example that is for us, Christian. God places us in places where we must seek his help. This is a wonderful lesson on the walk of faith, for in a land, as God describes herein, needs depend upon God's supply. God does not place Abraham in the land of plenty, but in a land of want, and he expects that want to be supplied by him through faith. Through faith. So God had brought Abram to a land whereby God was the husbandman who cared for it. What did it say? The Lord thy God always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. You know, the farmer often looks upon his fields to see the health of the fields, and God is like that. He often looks upon his fields, for he is the husbandman who cared for it, and that care was accessed by faith. What a lesson this is, where we learn that God places you in situations whereby your problems are to be solved by calling upon the hand of God, for your hand will only reach so far. You know, you reach out. Yes, you reach out. You just don't sit there like this, but you reach out and say, God, I can't reach any further than this. And God reaches the rest of the way by faith. So Abram's decision to go to Egypt did not stem from faith in God's hand of provision. You know, it's good thinking that if God calls you to a land, that he will provide in that land. Don't you think that if you're sent to a place to work, don't you think your employer will provide for you in that place? Well, so is God. Where did Abram build his altars? All were in Canaan, and none were in Egypt. God will not get in your way when you choose to depart from the walk of faith, but remember, you are trading the provision of God for the provision of the world. And what does God say? The world will not endure. The world will not endure. So Abram chooses to depart from the walk of faith, for it seems to him there is no provision upon this walk. As he looks longingly at the caravans coming from the south, the caravans are loaded, the camels are packed with the goods from the south, and he longingly looks that way towards Egypt. For the world always entices along the walk of faith, and the world shows its glittering, sparkling, and dazzling things. Young people, watch out for the glitter of the world. Watch out for the sparkling and the dazzling things with the intention of luring the eyes away from the straight walk. The world is clever in drawing you into its clutches. But again, this choice argues against the consequences. We've heard a lot about consequences in our church recently. The world does not like consequences. The world wants you to do what you want to do without any consequences. The allure is too much for Abram as he sees the easy way in Egypt in contrast to the hard way by staying in the land wherein God has directed. For Abram surmises, certainly there are no consequences, and this choice will bring all the needed goods into my storehouse. He sees no consequences, but another lesson is hereby given, for in all departures from the walk of faith, there are consequences, for it was near to the entering into Egypt that Abram began to consider the dangers he and his troop faced. For God had given him to wed a very beautiful woman, we're told, at this time named Sarai, whom we later learn in chapter 20, verse 12. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. So we learn that Sarai, this very beautiful woman, is indeed his sister, half-sister at best. Now later in chapter 17, we are told that she was 10 years younger than Abram, who left Haran at age 75, thus making her in her mid-60s. Now Sarai died with the name Sarah, of course, at age 127. So in that day, she was simply at the early stages of middle age, so her beauty was probably at its peak at this venture. Very beautiful woman. And perhaps she did not even look her age. At least this is what Abram told her if he was a good husband. That's what good husbands do. You know, I won't go any further than that. So faith was departed from. And what comes is the natural visitor to knock on Abram's door is fear. For without faith, fear always has its way. You know, faith and fear are not compatible. They're not in the same room at the same time. For faith banishes fear, and fear banishes faith. So fear whispers in Abram's ear, better make a deal with your wife, who is also conveniently your sister, for her to pose only as your sister and not your wife, so the Egyptians will not kill you. Wow, that's a lot of fear, is it not? And Abram is thinking of himself, using this woman for his own betterment. So Abram's thinking comes from this fact that Sarai is a very beautiful woman. Had she been a plain woman, no such fear would have taken place. But it was a well-known fact in that age that the powerful, that the mighty assembled around them harems of beautiful women, and disposing of her husband in order for them to have the woman was a common act. So this is where Abram gets his fear. My wife is too beautiful for me, and others will covet her. So Abram comes up with this scheme, for he fears for his life. He has fled the famine, fearing for his life, his wife's life, his servant's life, and his animals' lives. The scriptures are plain in showing us that Abram is motivated by fear and not moved by faith. You know, this is not uncommon as we live lives of fear. What will happen tomorrow? How am I going to pay this bill? Who is going to come and knock on the door at night or break in the house? We live by fear. That's natural to live by fear. And it was not unnatural for Abram to be motivated by fear and not moved by faith. Now, we do not know Abram's mind concerning what he expected the consequences of this deal to be. We don't know if he was willing to, for his wife to be married off to an Egyptian, thus receiving a large dowry. Now, in fact, he got a dowry from the Pharaoh, as we read later on. Or was it simply a calculation that such an arrangement would give him more time to work something out, such as stalling and giving approval to those who would ask for her hand or some other maneuver or scheme? There was something going on in Abraham to try to maneuver his way through this process by the use of his beautiful wife, Sarai. So it was common that during the time of engagement, the woman would remain at her home, and Abram would insist on a long engagement, long enough for the famine to end, and then to make some excuse for the marriage not to come about. In this scheme, God reveals to us an evil plan, for in everything that Abram did, he ignored the presence and the power of God in his life. That's what fear brings into your life, to ignore the presence and the power of God. God is powerful, all powerful, and then we neglect all of that power in favor of fear, and that's what took place. He left the road of faith and proceeded to walk the road of unbelief, the road of fear. Are you a Christian? Are you going to walk on the road of faith? Or are you going to let fear govern your life? Hadn't God promised to Abram a land, a seed, and a blessing? Hadn't God spoken to Abram that way? Abram, like so many of us, read of God's promises and then go about trying to figure out how to realize those promises by our own efforts. You know, God gives us a mission. Okay, now how are we going to carry out that mission instead of waiting on God to show us along the road of faith? We must remember on the road of faith, on the walk of faith, that if God promises, we are to rest in those promises and then watch Him work to bring them about. And Abram's plan was also evil because it put to risk the life of his wife and God's promise to make of Abram a great nation, a nation to bless all nations, and the nations from which would come the Messiah. All of these things were in Abram's mind, and yet he turned to fear as he made those decisions. You know, if Abram was willing to run the risk of another man taking Sarai as his wife, how then could she be the mother of Abram's seed? Just think about that, Abram. What about that? And also, faith does not bring a man to look to his wife for protection, for faith believes God's word, which appoints the man to lead the home and to be the protector of all in the house. Abram had that backwards, seeking protection from his wife. Abram put his wife on the front lines in order for him to remain in the place of safety, ignoring the promises of God, which told him of things to come, in which he would be a major player. His immediate death was not in the plan of God, but that's what fear brought into his mind. His immediate death, forgetting the promises of God. You know, God says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we pray that often. We bow our heads and ask the Lord to give us this day our daily bread. And God supplies. But this not only concerns bread and the necessity to daily seek bread from God's hand, but it concerns the daily seeking of God's hand in the walk of faith. You know, faith is like bread. We eat bread to sustain our lives. Well, we walk by faith to sustain our lives. Abram wanted more on the walk of faith than what was to come that day, for he saw a famine stretching far out into the future, and therefore fear came to lead him instead of faith. We are to walk each day by faith and not worry about the next day nor the next, for we know whose hand holds our hand. You know, so much of our time is spent on wondering about days ahead instead of wondering about the day that we're living in, the day that God gives us. But Abram's fears were of imagined future things. He imagined situations so difficult that unless he intervened, all would be lost. But where was God in his thinking? He wasn't there. How normal this is. How natural this is. But remember, walking by faith is supernatural, for it always includes God in the future things. Walking by faith is supernatural because it always includes God in the future things. And this Abram did not do. Thus his sinful deception announced loudly, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Parents with children, say that often to your children. Be sure your sins will find you out. You know, God has so arranged things that sins pop up open to others, for others to see, and they'll find you out. They're like that. Sins are like that, for sin always has a backup plan. But one thing to learn from Abram's experience is his backup plan went afoul. For Abram had not included in his thinking that Sarai was so extremely attractive and beautiful. Her presence came not only to the attention of many of the men of Egypt, but to the Pharaoh himself. You know, Abram didn't count on that. Abram thought, well, the men will want her, but he didn't count on the Pharaoh's attraction to her. But that's where God entered into the process. That came out of left field. That was a jaw-dropper and stopped Abram dead in his tracks. You know, his mouth was agape. It was open, wide. I didn't think about that. You know, that's what fear will cause you to say. I didn't think about that. I didn't think that would happen. But it happens. You know why? God makes it to happen. Just remember that as you walk the walk of faith. But Abram, prior to entering Egypt, thought he had it all figured out, but never had it entered his mind that Pharaoh would take notice of his wife, Sarai. Certainly, he could have pulled off this deception on lower men, but Pharaoh would not take no for an answer. You didn't think about that, did you, Abram, as you made up this deception? For we read in Genesis 12, 14 and 15, "And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair." But notice 15, "The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house." Didn't count on that, Abram, did you? All of a sudden, Sarai is taken into the Pharaoh's house. So tradition be gone. Engagement period be no more. Sarai is taken to the palace, awaiting the consummation of the marriage. Now, there is no evidence of any physical relationship between Pharaoh and Sarai, for most likely, Sarai would have undergone, much like Esther to come, a long period of preparation for her presentation to Pharaoh. But this was then a long period in which the God of Abraham could intervene, for his promises are not yet accomplished. You know, it seemed to Abram that all was lost. Pharaoh had given him even a great dowry, for we read of this in Genesis 12:16, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. Can you imagine Abram receiving all of this dowry from the Pharaoh? What did he think? His Sarai was gone, but he had this great dowry. In his mind, the deed was done. The deception was complete. His wife was lost. But again, where is God in this thinking? For with God, all things are possible. So think hard where Abram's mind then was taking him. Abram had asked his wife to lie so things would go well with him. And it did indeed go well with him. In an unexpected way, for Pharaoh sent him many gifts, and his deception was working well, for his ability to deceive further and leave Egypt with his wife and goods intact. He had prosperity, but without blessing, for it came from deception. You know, you can be prosperous, and you can have prosperity, all from deception, but it will all cave in on you from the deception. So notice that God is not in this account until verse 17. Abram, not on the road of faith, was given to suffer until his situation appeared hopeless. You know, God will indeed let you get to the end of your rope if you walk by fear, so that you have only to call upon him for help. Remember, he is the God of helps. Call upon the God of helps early, not late, not when you're at the end of your rope. You know, so many times we do that. We want something dearly, and we don't call upon God until we're so hopeless about it. Well, be hopeful and call upon God early. That is how important faith is to God, for he says without wavering, the just shall live by faith, and he will allow conditions to come to a place where living by faith will be so. I've seen it in my life. God will bring conditions in your life where you're called upon to call upon God. So we read in Genesis 12:17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues, because of Sarai, Abram's wife. You know, Abram's reached out and he couldn't reach for the solution. He reached out in faith and he couldn't reach for the solution, but God entered into the process. There is nothing here that tells us that Abram cried to the Lord for help. We don't know that. But God's will, remember this, God's will does not require the call of men. For God had determined that in Abram there would become a land, a seed, and a blessing. This did not depend upon Abram. This depended upon God alone. And God determined that this was going to take place, and he would bring it about in Abram, regardless of Abram's fear. Isn't that amazing? God's will do it. So God simply calls into being a plague. He snapped his fingers, and the plague said, yes, sir, and marched into the palaces of the Pharaoh. And the plague came upon them to carry out his will, and this plague brought all truth to the forefront. You know, somehow the plague is connected to Sarai's presence in the palace, and Abram's deception is found out. It was such an event that no punishment is exercised against Abram, and perhaps it can be concluded that in the Pharaoh's mind, Abram had powers to bring curses upon the palace. They thought that way, did they not? Because of what was happening to Sarai, now found out to be his wife. So there was an attachment from Abram to the plague, and therefore no punishment is exercised against him. But in verse 18 through 20, and I'll end here, "And Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way.' And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had." So Abram's deception is found out. God protects Abram because he has a use for Abram in the future to carry out the land, the seed, and the blessing. You know, God's will be done. God's will be done. Aren't you thankful for that? The Lord Jesus Christ said he's going to come again. I'm thankful that his will be done and that he'll say, "Come up hither." And I'm going to obey that command without a thought and rise to meet him in the air. I'm so glad that God's promises always are true and always will come about. Father, we are so thankful for this account. It gives us so many, many lessons of faith. Abram had the blood that we have running in our veins. We are wicked people. We are evil people. We walk by fear, not by faith. And Lord, fear does not please you. We want to please you. So help us, Lord, to walk by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please you. Help us to be a people of faith, not a people of fear. For we ask it in Jesus' holy and matchless and wonderful name. Amen.